and you would give us direction and encouragement, and we would walk out hopeful and yet challenged to be obedient in areas that maybe haven't been as surrendered to you as they should be. But you have hope for us, and you have power for us to live before you a way that's holy and glorifying to you. So we love your word. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Transform us by the renewing of our minds, Lord Jesus. We do surrender ourselves to you. Amen. So we want to live a kingdom kind of life. And I feel like I'm too far from you. I'm going to trip over something. There we go. We want to live a kingdom kind of life. We want to live a life that's surrendered to God and pleasing to him. And we've been going through Romans. And we have this verse here that sort of sets the stage in Romans. It's from the very first part of chapter 12. If you aren't familiar with Romans, the book of Romans kind of goes through a lot of theology up to chapter 11, the end of chapter 11, and then chapter 12, it sort of turns a corner. And then a whole bunch of practical stuff. Okay, we have the salvation. This is what it's all about. So then how do we live according to all this? And Paul opens that practical section with these words, which I've been reviewing every time we go through these practical things, because I want to keep in your focus right in front of you that we have a high calling, and it's actually very challenging to live the Christian life, and it would be impossible, extremely impossible, to live it without power from the Lord. And so I want to continue to bring this into focus, and let's just remember these opening verses in chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So we present ourselves to God as those who are dead to sin and alive to righteousness and alive to him in Christ. And unless we do that, we're going to walk in our own power. But when we do that, we present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. First of all, he's able to make us holy, and also what we present to him, he accepts. And what we present to him is pleasing to him. So offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, knowing that it is pleasing to God. And you can leave your nature, your sin nature, your fleshly body, your thoughts and stuff. You can leave those in his presence, in his possession, and be confident that he knows how to deal with all that. And he will bypass the negative things in you in order for you to be able to live a life that's holy. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. That's what we're trying to escape from. Be transformed instead by the renewing of your mind. Do you transform yourself? No, you don't transform yourself. Jesus transforms your mind. It says be transformed. It does not say transform yourself. So this is not a matter of effort or exertion on your part. And sometimes I say that we don't want to try. We want to rely. We want to rely on God. We don't want to try. Trying will lead to failure. Trying is your New Year's resolutions and how all those kind of always go flat. But relying on the Lord Jesus, when we rely on the Lord Jesus, did he fail in anything that he set out to do? He will not fail you when you rely on him. So then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And so the rest of the chapter from here, and actually a couple more chapters, talk about what is God's good and pleasing and perfect will. Well, Paul spells it out in a number of different ways. And we've been through a couple of weeks of looking at this. But I do want to go backwards, actually, because I felt like last week when we talked about unity, there was this pair of verses, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So this is a depiction of our unity. We are one body. We are one body of people across Spring Creek, across Elko, across the entire world. All believers in the world are one body to Jesus Christ. But that's especially true in the region around us, where we can know people that go to different churches and things like that, and also within this room. We're one body. And I developed that kind of from a theoretical aspect, but I left out something last week, and I was thinking about it all week, that I have to cover this again because this is really helpful. So we want to live in unity with each other. But that's not, unless we understand what the challenges are to unity and what the pitfalls that lead to disunity are, we might not be as successful about this. So I just wanted to highlight just some things I've thought about. So here's some common causes of disunity. We have different levels of maturity. There's always in the body of Christ. There's always, there should always be some new believers. There should always be some people who've been believers for a little while and they're growing. There should be people who are becoming more mature and mature believers. And each of the generations that's more mature should be teaching and helping the generations that are less mature to grow in their faith. And to do that, we have to be willing to come alongside them, willing to understand that when you work with someone that's less mature, they're going to present certain challenges. They're going to have ideas because they've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They're going to have some ideas that are really still kind of conformed to their prior way of living. So there's going to be different levels of maturity in the room every time believers get together, and this has been true through all time for the church. So just be cognizant of that, that you're alert that that's one of the things that can cause disunity. If you're new in the faith, if you're young, if you're a new believer, understand that there are people who've gone many, many years, decades even, before you, and so don't have too high an opinion of your own opinions. If you're new in the faith, don't have too high an opinion. Be willing to accept encouragement or instruction or correction from people who have walked with God for a long time. And don't be contentious. Don't be contentious about your views about different things. Cultural differences can emerge from age. Like, you know, I grew up in a different generation than young people these days, so I have cultural differences. There are ethnic differences that we can have. Socioeconomic, just like where in society or what kind of money background that you came from actually can result in differences between. So these are just cultural things, just like what are our mindsets coming into this that come more from a cultural standpoint. And it's not sin. It's not necessarily sin. It's just like we have a different view from each other. Can't let that get in the way, because we do have a common view of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is our Savior and that he brought us out of darkness to be his children. And therefore, cutting across all of that is the fact that we're his children. Theological differences. So, I mean, there's just a few here. These are some of the ones that sometimes get contentious. What do you think about the end times? How's it going to be? Are you pre-trib, post-trib, and so that you can go on in that. And that split churches. Creation, age of the earth, baptism. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? Do you not have to be baptized? You can still be saved. Spiritual gifts, eternal security. Can you lose your salvation? So these are just some of the big ones that have often caused people, put people into debate with each other. Like, people can have different views about that. And don't be on a mission to change people's views about these things. Don't be on a mission to change people's views about things, because God has accepted them. He has accepted that person that you think you might need to correct. He's already accepted that person. And they have something to offer, and you have something to offer. And if you cause suffering in the body of Christ, then the whole body of Christ suffers. We don't want to have one member of our body hurting another member of our body. If I just stand here and like punch my arm and make this arm hurt, that's not a good thing for my whole body. Like, if I make this part of my body not functional, the body analogy is given to us, Holy Spirit inspired to Paul, that we should think long and hard before we go causing disruption and dissension and division in the body. Our bodies are meant to be functioning really, really well. They're meant to function really well. And this body is not our own body. It's the body of who? It's the body of Christ. It's not our body. So let's not be disruptive and cantankerous with people about our different doctrinal views. There's room for that. Like, we all get to walk through the narrow gate of salvation. We're not taking the broad way of destruction, but we can go through that gate arm in arm. And then just personality difference. There's sometimes people just grate on you, and they're in the church. And you know why they're there? To rub the edges off of you. That's right, and I need that. I need people who's like, I have to come to you, Lord, for patience. I'm coming to you, Lord, for patience. And we need people like that. Because this isn't, God didn't pick perfect people to make his church. He picked flawed people, and he picked a variety of kinds of people for us to be with and learn to be one with each other in the body. So these are common causes of disunity. So I just want to chuck those out there and identify them for you so you can be cautious about your impacts in the body and cautious about your assumptions about other people in the body of Christ, because it's his body. Now to the passage of the day. Romans 12:9-16. The lemon fell. Who wants a lemon? Okay. The lemon is on the altar. Okay. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Lord, these are challenging things, and we pray, Lord, that we would not be discouraged by this long list, but that we would have hope, and that this would be a message full of hope and challenge for us, full of hope and challenge, because we have come here to present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. We have come here, Lord God, for our minds to be renewed by you, that we may walk in a manner pleasing to you in every respect. So enliven your word, quicken our hearts through your Holy Spirit, and grant us power to do these things. We pray in Jesus' name. So I've gone through and I've bullet pointed these, and I haven't left out a single word through all these different bullet points. And so I'm just going to take them apart in little groups like this. But before we go on this journey together with all of these different things, and there was a long list, before we go on this journey, I just want to express to you kind of my hope and my expectation. I think that the Lord communicated to me in putting this message together is I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you out of this list and challenge you on the thing that he wants to speak about. So I'm not going to speak in detail. I'm not going to elaborate these. You can read English. You can hear English and understand what the words mean. But the Holy Spirit, we welcome you to speak to our hearts about the area of our lives in which you want to challenge us. And we have hope in you. We have hope in you in the area that you want to challenge us, that your power is able to come into, yes, even that area that maybe we haven't really paid attention to or developed in our lives as a way of obedience for you. Give us hope. Let us leave this room today with hope and joy and a challenge from you to step it up in some area. Maybe you're going to just say, step it up in this area. We do belong to you, Lord, and we're your body. It's your body. We're your children. You're our Father, Lord God. Holy Spirit, you are in us for power to be able to live this life, this kingdom life. So, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. When we are interacting with someone and want to express love, are we faking it? We can wing it. They might not know, but we might know. And it could be better in the Holy Spirit. If that is coming from the Lord, it will not be with hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Do I always abhor what is evil? What do I let into my eyes? What do I watch? What do I listen to? Sometimes things that aren't the best. I could do a better job of abhorring what is evil. There's a really good passage. We're not going to cover it today, but the gist of that passage is that compromise will take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it'll cost you more than you wanted to pay. So abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Do I cling to what is good? Do I run to the Word? The Word is good. Do I run to fellowship? Fellowship is good. Do I run to worship? Do I run to praise? Do I cling to these wonderful good things? I can do better at that. I don't always that. And sometimes it's because I'm not abhorring what's evil. I'm just letting that take up my time. So challenges. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. And when I read that, I think, when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, that's natural. When I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not as natural. But I want it to be natural. I want it to be beautiful. So let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's reap the benefit of having presented ourselves to the Lord as those alive from the dead, presented ourselves to the Lord as living sacrifices, transformed in our minds. Not lagging in diligence. What area in your life is calling upon you for diligence? May the Holy Spirit speak. Fervent in spirit. Fervent, not just fervent about our faith, not just busy, fervent in spirit. Led in our fervency by the Holy Spirit. Serving the Lord, not serving the world, not serving this or that, not serving our selfish desires, not serving our wants. Serving the Lord is what we're putting our energy into. Is it of the Lord? Is it the Lord's thing? Rejoicing in hope. Hope is so important. With hope, without hope, everything starts crashing down. If we don't have hope, if we don't have belief, understanding that we've just been given all this hope in Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't have this understanding and this assumption that, yes, he's the God of all hope, he's the God of all hope, then we'll be short on life, because hope is like really intimately tied to joy and expectation. And we have a God that wants to fill us with expectation. He says somewhere else, I think it's in Ephesians, he's able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine. Far more abundantly. So have hope in that. We have a God of great hope. And have hope at the end of this message. Have hope. Have hope. Because even if the Holy Spirit challenges you, he challenges you towards something that's possible in him. Patient in tribulation. Tribulation could be just trials that come from the word. It could be persecution. But down this passage further, down than we're going to get to today, there actually talks about persecuting. Persecution. Patient in tribulation. We all have troubles. This world dishes out troubles. It could be a hurricane. My parents went through a terrible hurricane. This could be death. It could be just like any number of things. Just think of any trouble that you've had in the past or one that you've heard about. This isn't a tame world that we live in. Tribulation can come. It can come through a car accident. It can come through sickness. A number of different things. Be patient, because the Lord is able to make all circumstances work for your good. It doesn't mean that that's plan A. It doesn't mean that he's happy about that circumstance. But he can make all things work toward your good, including that circumstance, which means his redemptive power can be at work in the midst of tribulation to bring something good out of it. So he always has plan A, regardless of what you're going through, and it's blessing. So be patient and let those things emerge. Be patient with God and allow him to bring forth those things and let them emerge in the midst of trials. Be patient for him to show you and have expectation. The previous verse here was rejoicing in hope. Rejoice in hope. In the midst of tribulation, also rejoice in hope. Continue steadfastly in prayer. And I'm going to admit, this was the one that the Lord really challenged me on this week. He's like, am I steadfast in prayer? I pray some. Lord's asking for more. He's just looking for me to really step that one up. Be more steadfast in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. So I got to up my game in there. Maybe you have to up your game there. I don't know. Holy Spirit, speak. We do need to hear from you, Holy Spirit. Distributing to the needs of the saints. It's interesting when you look around Paul in his letters, especially 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about giving and generosity, and that's what I often refer to during the offering comes from this passage in 2 Corinthians 9. It's about giving. It's a beautiful passage, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. But it's in a larger context of quite a lot of verses about making a collection for believers that were in need. So the Church of Corinth, it's in southern Greece, the area of Israel, 600, 700 miles away across the Mediterranean, down at the east end of the Mediterranean, but there was persecution and all kinds of things going on, and the needs of the saints in the other part of the world were really great. So Paul was looking for generosity and giving the Corinthian church an opportunity to contribute, and they were more than happy. They were excited. It's like, we get to help the other believers. Like, we can do that. We can participate in supporting them. And they were enthusiastic about that. Now, I would say that, and this is a challenge for me, I don't really know how to deal with this, that churches today, we have offerings, we take in money, and a lot of that winds up going to take care of the facilities. Take care of the facilities. Nobody here is like one person that at this church is actually paid for doing something for the church. One person. And it's not me. It's Carol. And we're glad to do that. Thank you for all you do. In churches these days, a lot of money goes to taking care of the facilities. And I don't know whether we're really doing that well as a body of Christ, as a body, taking care of the needs of the other saints. That's a challenge to me, and I don't know how to overcome that, because our system here, like the way things are set up, we do have these facilities to take care of. Are we stuck with this? I don't know what the answer is there. I do know that when churches lose all of this stuff, all the materials, you know, and they don't have buildings, they just give directly to people who need help. And I think that's a good thing. So maybe that's something that as a body we need to pray about. But I know individually we can also be challenged to take care of the other saints. And I know there's a lot of generous people in the church that actually do that. And I'm delighted about that. But I think this puts a kind of a perplexing conundrum that's worth at least sort of entertaining in our thoughts, not entertaining our thoughts, giving some thought to, giving some consideration to. Are we doing what we ought to be doing in this area? Not really certain. Holy Spirit, speak. We need you. Given to hospitality. Do you open your home? Do you open your home for people to come over and have meals? Or just to be there? Is your home a place of rest and peace? Is your home open? Are you welcoming to people? When Peter barely knew Jesus, he had met him maybe once. Jesus came to Peter's town and was preaching in the synagogue, and there was a man who was possessed. Jesus cast the demon out of the guy, and Peter was a fisherman. He was just this tradesman in the town, and there were probably many more people in that town who were more important than Peter, and yet Jesus wound up at Peter's house where his mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And then everybody around the town, the whole town came, and Jesus was healing all of them. And Peter showed hospitality to Jesus. And I just wonder, like, there were maybe these synagogue officials and people like that, and they were all interested or maybe felt threatened by Jesus. This wasn't really a period yet in Jesus' ministry where he was getting a lot of opposition. But Peter, maybe he's the only one who invited him. I mean, I'm just really curious about the events leading up to that. How did Jesus wind up at Peter's house of all the people in the whole town? It's just amazing to me. So let's be hospitable. Let's open up our houses. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If we're cursing people who are acting horrendously to us and persecuting to us, if we are cursing them in return, we're doing the devil's work. And we don't want to do the devil's work. Their situation's bad enough as is. They're persecuting someone who's part of the kingdom of God. Their situation's already bad. It's terrible. And we were in the same situation there. They're in the kingdom of darkness, persecuting the kingdom of light. God's brought us out of the kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light. He was persecuted. We can be persecuted. He was persecuted and he blessed. He blessed even to the point of dying on the cross to bless people who are sinners. We can bless. And if that's hard for you, if you're in a situation where you're being persecuted, I'll just give you this one tip. Here's a really good way to get started in this, is even if you don't feel it, say the words, God, I bless this person in your name to receive whatever you think that they need from the Lord. And not as though, you know, God, fix that person, bless this person to get saved because then my persecution will end. No, just bless them to be blessed. Bless them that someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit would come into their life. Bless them that the Word of God would go to them and they would hear something in the Word of God that would change their lives. Bless them in all kinds of different ways. But I'll tell you what, it's easier if you just force the words out of your mouth than to try to make the feeling happen first. The feeling will follow. If you begin to obey with your mouth, you'll find it easier to go forward in the Spirit. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. And I'm going to combine this with the next one. Be of the same mind toward one another. And this is really a matter of showing empathy and compassion with people, which are things that we need to cultivate. How can you rejoice with someone who rejoices and then maybe in the next 10 minutes find someone that you need to weep with who is weeping? It's because you're empathetic and compassionate toward people that you run across. Challenge yourself in this, like, especially guys. Like, we're not usually good with this emotional stuff. It's not natural for me it was not natural for me for, it's still not natural to me to go in these directions. But there is time. If somebody has a reason for rejoicing and they're giving praise to God, join them in that. If someone's weeping, just come alongside them. Job was this wealthy man with a big family, and it all got taken from him. And his friends came, and they sat with him for a full 7 days. He had had so many losses and so many afflictions and sickness come upon him that they came, and they just sat with him for 7 days, according to the book of Job. They sat with him silent for 7 days before any of them decided to open their mouth. So they're compassionate on him. They're weeping with his weeping and silent in his dismay and his disturbance and this disruption that had come, and this, you know, so many things that had happened in his life that were suddenly so hard to accept. He was compassionate and merciful. They were compassionate and merciful toward him. And they showed really how to come alongside someone who's weeping. Sometimes it's with silence. Sometimes it's just sharing a tear. Don't give advice. You might not want advice. It could be the last thing they want. You might really just want somebody to be with them and to suffer, and they're suffering in your heart because they're suffering in their heart. So be of the same mind toward one another, whether that's weeping or rejoicing. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. So don't think you're better than people. Associate with the humble. Have you ever seen a homeless person around town and they're just sitting there? Have you ever just sat down and talked to them? Have a real conversation? Say, what's your story? And you'd be amazed at what they'll tell you. Most of the times they're not drunk, actually. Most of the times you can have actually a pretty good conversation with them. Just sit down with people of low estate, of low circumstance in life. Don't think yourself too high for that. You have an opportunity. Like some people that are in that condition, they're longing for someone to show them love and compassion. So don't think highly of yourself. Like, remember where we came from. Remember where we came from. We were terrible sinners in the kingdom of darkness who, before we know Jesus, probably threw rocks at him in our heart. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, if you think you're wise, maybe you have some wisdom. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for decades. You think you're wise. God may have put the spirit of the spiritual gift of wisdom on any person of any age and any level of maturity and bring forth from them wisdom that's far beyond your wisdom. And you need to be prepared to listen to that. And here's greater wisdom. The greater wisdom is that you're wise enough to know when to shut up and listen to somebody else. Yeah. So be wise. Be wise. Don't be wise in your own opinion. You know, let those judgments be from God or from somebody else. Don't credit yourself with that. Don't credit yourself with that. Because there's always more wisdom that can come from God, and he can bring it from any direction. So, again, to refresh us on this, that's a long list, and I hope the Holy Spirit has spoken. Lord, we did ask you to speak, Lord. I trust that you've spoken today. Challenged us in our hearts. But to remind you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. He accepts what you give to him. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You won't fulfill these things in your own power. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is what the Holy Spirit accomplishes in you. Be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve and demonstrate what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And I would end with this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You humble yourselves before God in the thing that he's challenging for you. Although Jesus' power is perfect to be able to perfect these things in you, you may fail at different times as you learn how he wants to move in your spirit with regard to these challenges that he's placed before you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God in this thing in which he's challenging you, and he will exalt you in due time. He will give you overcoming power in due time to take on this challenge and actually be successful and make advancement in this area in your life in which he's challenging you. So Lord, we thank you for the richness of your word. We thank you for these challenges. I pray blessing of hope for everybody here. Hope in you that truly power does reside with you to bring these things forth in us. We do want to live humble and godly and beautiful lives before you. We do want to lead a kingdom way of life. And you're able to make us stand. So we lay at your feet the anxieties we have from the challenges that you've issued to our heart. We lay at your feet our anxieties about the challenges that you've issued to our hearts. We lay those anxieties at your feet. Because you are indeed the God of all hope. And though you've challenged and maybe convicted us, and you don't condemn us. You don't break off the reed that you've planted. You don't chastise the plant before it's grown all the way, but you prune it to grow it in the direction that it needs to go. You're with us for our good and to bring yourself glory out of our lives. Have your way with us in our hearts and our minds, in our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you would like to come up and pray at the altar and bring surrender of your life to God in some area, please come up.